Welcome to the most inappropriate book club you never knew you were missing. Featuring at least three different books every week. Starring Martha Steele, the weirder the book, the better. Vonnie Golden, historical fiction with a side of trauma porn. Pat Griner, refusing to read by the rules, as a rule. These people are passionate about books. Maybe a little too passionate. Plotting world domination, one book at a time. They are three book girls.
Oh, Pat, we are like, we're all kinds of out of sync and out of sorts today.
We're blaming menopause. I have the menopause meanies today. I feel like I'm Mrs. Puff from SpongeBob, and I'm just going to puff into a big ball of carbs and anger.
Spiky ball of carbs and anger.
That's me today.
That's why she's over there.
Today's been all right. Yesterday sucked.
Why? What happened yesterday?
Well, Ron had an appointment down in Denver.
Yeah.
So we went down Wednesday, take him to the appointment Thursday morning. They decided to go ahead with the next treatment that they had, which is basically it's called an RATG treatment. The R stands for rabbits, and they use something from rabbits, rabbit pathogens, rabbit ant, rabbit virus, rabbit something. Anyway, they give him these infusion treatments, and it's supposed to knock his immune system back down to nothing so that it can rebuild and hopefully not be attacking his lung again.
So his body's rejecting his lung?
Yeah, he's
oh man.
It's trying to the lung is trying to reject. So he's stuck in the hospital down there because the treatment is just infusions, but they have to monitor you in case there's an adverse reaction. Plus, because it takes your immune system down to nothing, it's gonna be just like he was right after the transplant. We're gonna have to be super careful about not having him exposed to anything. Him in the hospital. They told we had the appointment that morning about noon. They said, well, you guys could go home and like come back tomorrow or come back next week. And we were just like, they said, we can try and get you in today. And it was like, if you can do that, fewer trips. And
it's not like it's around the corner or something.
Yeah.
So no, it's about five, six hours. Is it?
Five hours on a good day. It was six last night, which is the later part of the story. But anyway, So we checked him and we ran out to Target and bought like a pair of pajama pants and a robe and some slippers. And so he had something other than just a hospital gown. You know? Mm-hmm. And so I left him there and I went to drive home. And first thing, I come out of the hospital into the parking lot and there is a woman having a worse day than I am. This poor woman just looked frazzled. And she looks at me and goes, do you by any chance have a spare gas can in your car?
Oh.
And I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't. And she was trying not to break down in tears. If she was scamming me, she's the best actor I've ever seen. but she said her mother had fallen and shattered her femur that morning. And she said, I just dropped everything and rushed her to the hospital. And apparently she has a hairdressing shop. And she said, I left my purse and everything at my shop. I just grabbed my keys and ran her over here. And we got her in and her car had run out of gas. In the hospital parking lot. She didn't have her purse or her money with her. And the gas station across the street would not even let her borrow a gas can to bring gas over to her.
Oh my God.
That's crazy.
So I gave her money for gas and a gas can. So I get on the road to come home, and it's normally a five-hour drive. Traffic was stupidly heavy in Colorado, and was even on that toll road bypass around the city.
Uh-huh.
It was moving less than 20 miles an hour.
On the bypass?
Yeah, because there were two. I could see them when we go around the corners. There were two enormous semis side by side blocking both lanes and up the hills.
That makes me so angry.
So there's like a mile of traffic backed up behind them, and traffic was heavy all the way up to Fort Collins. So it took me 6 hours instead of five to get home. And I get home and Charlie has had a seizure.
Oh my God.
So I'm cleaning up pee and poop and getting him, and every time, and he was more out of it and disoriented than I think I've ever seen him. And he kept getting onto tile floor, and then he'd fall down and he couldn't get traction to get up again. And in the course of that, so he ended up peeing on the floor three more times in the course of me working around him and getting him up. I get him. The cat wouldn't take his pill. I had to like grab him and wrestle the pill into his mouth. And finally I get everything cleaned up and done. And I sit down to open the mail, and it's the IRS saying, "Oh, you made a mistake. You owe us another $900. It's like, thank you.
Okay, you win. You win for the absolute worst fucking day ever.
Yeah. That partner was like, "I'm going to bed."
I would have sat down on the floor and just wept at that point. I would have sat down in the pee, dog pee, and just wept at that point.
There were some moments when I felt like it, but today has gone better. So, yeah.
Well, you're going to need a week to get over that one day.
Yeah. God. It was not a fun one, but.
Well, so now how long until you can go get him? How long does he have to stay there?
Well, they said it could be done in as little as 5 days, or it might be 7, or it could even be, it depends. I think 4 rounds of infusions.
Oh.
But depending on, not everybody, but like 20% of people they get reactions to it that it doesn't mean they can't take it, but they have to slow it down, or they have to skip a day and let them kind of recover from it. So, so he could be out in as few as 5 days, or it could be 7, or it could be more. Mm. We don't know.
Yeah. So, sorry.
Oh, I'm just hoping. And he was like, "Well, the TV in the hospital is crap. They don't have any, the selection of channels is awful. And their internet is apparently not very good. He can't stream anything on his iPad."
Oh, my God.
So it's like, you're a writer. Right. This is your enforced writing retreat.
You get your ass in there and write a book, mister.
Yep.
My God.
I don't care if you're down a lung. Your hand still works.
You still got one working lung. Get in there.
Your fingers still work. You.
Oh, my God. Well.
So that was fun.
That was not fun.
So hopefully this treatment does some good things and doesn't turn him into a rabbit or something, you know. I come down here and your nose is twitching.
I'm turning around and going the other way. If your eyes start turning red, I'm out.
Yeah.
Ears start growing. Start getting a fluffy tail.
Oof.
That might be okay.
Bonnie's sitting over there thinking about it now. She's like, hey, rabbits are pretty randy, huh?
Yeah. Nice soft fur.
And if all else fails, you can make a coat at the end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that was awful. Sorry. Sometimes I can't help myself. So TikTok is in the news again, as we all know. For one thing, they're talking now and saying that they have credible evidence that somebody is trying to mess with the election again through TikTok.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people are talking about, they're going to ban TikTok.
But on the other hand, they've had credible evidence that Russia used Facebook to mess with the election, and they didn't get rid of Facebook
Well, I think they're trying to find any excuse they can to get rid of TikTok, because they basically have no way to protect or control, because the company that owns it is Chinese and they don't care. And you know what they said? They said, "We're not selling it."
Yeah. And they'll tie it up in the courts for years.
No, they said, "We'll shut it down before we'll sell it." And I was just saying to Vani that what will happen is that the people in the U.S. will fucking revolt because they like it, which will then destabilize the country even more, which actually gives China an advantage.
Yeah.
And it's our own fault.
If they shut it down, somebody else will put up a similar platform. Somebody, they could do it low, you know, make it homegrown, U.S. made.
Well, what I don't understand is how come they couldn't do that and why they haven't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah.
Of course, it's hard to get a new platform. Like, whatever happened to, what was that one platform you joined with the animal names, like Moose or Tyrannosaur?
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
Mastodon.
That animal Mastodon. One.
The animal one. Yeah, I'm not good at keeping up with things, so I'm sure it's still out there. I just don't. And Threads, I joined Threads, but they're actually doing better than Twitter now. Just takes time.
Yeah, and you never know what's going to catch on.
No, you never do.
I mean, it's so hard to predict. Mm-hmm. But I just can't even imagine, what are people going to do? What's Megan going to do if we don't have TikTok? Or I should say when, because have they already passed the law to ban it in,
I don't know what the fuck they're
the
doing.
United States. Well, they tied it up with the same bill that had the funding for
all the foreign wars.
What is it? Gaza? Who?
Gaza for Israel and for Ukraine. And
so, of course, you know, everybody wants to pass it so that we can give money to the people who need it. And then they throw this one in there. And, oh, yeah, by the way,
we're banning TikTok.
We're banning TikTok, too.
I don't know what's going to happen. Megan's probably going to have a stroke. She won't like that.
Yeah. Everyone's going to rebel.
We're
all going to go into the wrong bathroom and watch TikTok on our phones.
Because that'll really piss off the Republicans, right?
I'm going to go into the one that's not on my birth certificate and watch TikTok. I'm going to stand up and pee, watch TikTok on my phone at the same time.
You can use my
sheet. Well, when you stand up to pee, you can use those shorts that Martha sent. Or was it Martha?
It was
sent
me. I sent these new shorts that have a zipper all the way around the crotch, so that if you have to pee while you're hiking, you can just undo the zipper and just spread your cheeks and go for it.
If I wore a pants like that, I would probably zip it up and catch things in there that I'm not supposed to.
We're assuming that you're wearing these shorts commando style, because...
See, otherwise, I thought about that after the fact, too. You would have to wear them commando style, or there would be no point.
And then how cold would that zipper be up against your bits?
And frankly, I am not down with anything that has the possibility of snagging your pubic hair in the zipper.
Yeah.
No, that just sounds painful.
It does sound painful. Well, it sounded like a good idea at the time.
You can always wear your crotchless underwear with them.
Crotchless underwear.
Honey, get me those Velcro underwear.
Or there's matching underwear with a zipper in that, too. And it's like zip and zip and zip.
It kind of makes me think of, like, when they have the bodysuits that have the snaps.
Oh,
and, you know, the snaps were so that you didn't have to get completely undressed to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But then
you had the
when
snap
you went to
right
the bathroom,
up there against your
you were, like, trying to stand on your head, trying to get the stupid thing snapped back in and not give yourself the massive wedgie in the process.
God, I hated bodysuits with a burning passion.
Because French cut was also in. So you had French cut, which is cut high,
really
in the
high
legs,
yep,
and then you're bent over trying to pull these things down, and
you get
snap
one
them.
Snapped, and the other one goes flapping up your back. Yeah,
yep.
It's like a cartoon character.
It was not a pretty sight.
Yeah, well, peeing outside this year is not going to be easy, I guess.
I couldn't even pull up tights when I was drunk. Could you imagine me trying to put on a friggin' snap my bodysuit after a couple of drinks?
No, I can't imagine that.
That's or anyone. Definitely be hitting my head on this.
Yeah, women's clothing has never been designed to make it easy for us to go to the bathroom.
Never.
No.
Uh-uh.
No. I mean, it's like jumpsuits, where you have to, like, completely undress from the top.
I know. And here you are, like, sitting in the stall in a public place.
Naked.
Naked from the waist down.
Or what about the ones that come all the way to the top?
You either have to bunch it up and hold on to it, or it's dragging on the floor and God knows what.
Oh, God, yes.
And yeah.
Yes. I think women are not designing those clothes. That's what I think.
Jumpsuits were cool looking. They were, it was one of those things that's like the end result. If you had the right
physique.
They didn't look good on everybody.
Yeah. You looked good in a jumpsuit.
Long 30 years ago I did, but Diana Rigg, they used to call them Emma Peelers because of her character.
Yep.
Yeah. And she looked good in a jumpsuit.
I think you just had a girl crush on her. That's what I think.
Oh, I did. Yeah. No, no denying that.
Maybe just coveralls. That's what we'll do. We'll all start wearing coveralls.
I like overalls.
No, coveralls. I'm talking about the whole suit that goes over your clothes.
Yeah, but I'm so hot-blooded, I wouldn't want to wear anything underneath it.
Well, we're all in menopause. That's a bad idea all the way around. I'm just being an ass.
And I've been eating very terrible this week, so I have had hot flashes. Like,
so there's no way Mrs. Puff is fitting into a jumpsuit.
Mrs. Puff is puffy, full of anger and carbs and sweating under the sea. Don't think you want her to teach you how to drive this week.
No. You're right. I was reading an article today that talked about Harry Potter's books being done again in audio, but this time, instead of someone reading them like a book, they're actually going to be done with a full cast. And I'm assuming that is with sound effects and the whole thing.
I don't like that. I don't like reading books.
Does somebody read the, you know, Harry said kind of stuff, or do they just cut all that stuff out?
No, they just cut it all out.
Well, then that's not the same book.
It's not a book.
It's a production. It's a play. It's not a book.
Yeah.
I want my audiobook to read like as if I'm reading it to myself. Mm-hmm. I don't want... Now, I'm okay with if, you know, like some of those books that one chapter is from one person's point of view, the next chapter is from somebody else's point of view.
But you don't want dialogue between two people in your ear.
No.
Yeah, me neither. And I've listened to a few, I don't know if you have, Pat, on Audible. They have Audible exclusive content. And there's a lot of things on there that are like that, that have, I picked
up. They're basically radio plays?
Exactly. That's exactly what they are. They're sound productions.
Uh-huh.
And I could get maybe 3 minutes in and I'm annoyed.
Hmm.
I don't know what it is about it that I don't like. I can't really put my finger on it, but I've tried several of them that were very highly acclaimed. And the minute the sound effects start up, I'm out. I have my own internal sound effects in here. I'm distracted by that.
Well, it's like the same reason why I like to read the book before I watch the movie, because I want to picture what everything looks like in my head. And if I watch the movie first, well, then I'm not.
They're doing all the work for you.
Yeah. And I'm just going to picture what the movie had and not what's in my brain.
Well, I have not listened to the Harry Potter audiobooks, but I have always heard that they're considered one of the highest achievements for a narrator because of all the voices that Jim Dale does.
Jim Dale won several awards for his performance in those audiobooks. And it says in the article, these are not meant to replace those books by him and Stephen Fry, because Stephen Fry does the British versions. It's not meant to replace those. It's just something for the newer generation coming up. And I'm like, the newer generation coming up can read the fucking books, man. They can listen to Jim Dale. He's a master.
Well, you know, and I'm not like, don't mean to sound like an old lady. The kids these days.
That's exactly what I sound like, and I don't care.
But everybody has such a short attention span.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to do something that grabs them quicker. Kind of like reading a graphic novel compared to a regular novel.
I blame TikTok.
Well, you might be getting rid of that pretty soon, so you'll have to blame somebody else.
Who else could I blame?
TV. Blame TV
for
everything.
Blame TV for all the violent video games. Let's throw that in there, too.
Yeah.
It's that damn television.
Just throw it all together in there.
It's those Apple phones.
Those damn just fruit phones.
Ruining everything in my life.
That's pretty much how I sound most of the time. Get your goddamn fruit phone away from me.
The older I get, the more I sound like that. And every once in a while in my head, I'm thinking, I'll have one of those thoughts. And I'll be like, oh my God, I need to stop that. I sound like my grandmother.
God, the only thing I have this week is a political nonfiction.
Wow.
I know. I read like 6 books this week and they were all 3 stars or less. They were all just terrible. I think I'm just in a mood. Okay.
I looked it up and was like, okay, Martha's never reviewed this on the podcast.
Nope, never have. There's a lot of sci-fi stuff I haven't. There's some stuff that's just too fucking weird for me to describe so that I don't even. All right, Bonnie, you're going to lead us into the fray?
Well, I'm going to lead you into something because I have a nonfiction this week. Again, this is another one that I had recommended at the Book Mingle. And just so that everybody knows, we're having another Book Mingle on May 11th at Second Story Books. And they are really awesome for book recommendations. I obviously had some good ones since that's what I've been reviewing.
She's been spending all of her time reviewing things that people told her about, which is good because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you just get into a book lull and you want something new. And I have a hard time finding new things. So I need people to tell me, read this. And so
you need people to tell you what to do?
Sometimes.
Is that why you like me?
Yeah, you are an awfully bossy bitch.
I am bossy.
You tell me what to do.
Now review your fucking book.
Yes, ma'am. You are definitely the Monica in this relationship. So this week, for the 7th time, I reviewed Sally Field in Pieces. And I've always liked Sally Field. She seems so bubbly and just sweet and I don't know. She's Gidget.
Nice. She is Gidget. Did you ever watch Gidget,
Pat? Oh, yeah. Gidget and the Flying Nun.
Yes, the Flying Nun was cool.
Yeah, the Flying Nun was like, I was pretty young when the Flying Nun was on, and I thought it was pretty cool. And did you know that Gidget only ran for 1 season?
Really?
And that's what she says in the book. And
it feels like it was longer.
She did
seasons
not.
Seasons were longer back. The seasons ran the whole, I mean, you had 39 or 40 shows 40, in a season.
40 shows in a season.
And she did not like doing The Flying Nun the whole time that she did The Flying Nun. She didn't like it.
Wow.
But one thing that was really cool is when she was doing The Flying Nun, remember the show, the TV show, The Monkees?
Yeah,
from the band.
Yeah.
They recorded in the same studio. So she got to hang out with the Monkees.
Oh, how cool is that?
I loved the Monkees.
The Monkees plus the awesome. Flying Nun equals
Flying Monkees.
Yay. There we got a Wizard of Oz tie-in we didn't know we had.
So let me go back to the beginning. Sally Field was not an outgoing person who made friends easily. She was a bit of a loner and she had a hard time making friends in school. That kind of surprised me.
I mean, how could you be, and well, I suppose you could be an actor and not be outgoing.
Well, she wasn't a child actor. She didn't start acting until she was like 18. So her mom, I think, did some acting, and her stepdad was a stuntman. So she was kind of adjacent to the acting world, but her childhood was not that great, and I didn't know that. I don't get into the gossip like some people that we know and love, but her mom had kind of a rough childhood, and so did her grandma. Her grandma's story was probably the saddest because she grew up in an orphanage for most of her life. Yeah, her whole family had issues. But we'll go back to Sally's issues because that's what mainly the book is about. Her stepdad was abusive, sexually abusive. So trigger warnings for that. Lots of trigger warnings for that. And I think he was also mentally abusive. I'm trying to remember if there was any physical abuse. There could have been physical abuse. But she talks about one of the hardest things was to see the changes in her mother lose her personality. And that just, it breaks your heart to read stuff like that and just to think that she had to go through that. And, you know, she blamed herself for a long time. And it took her a really long time to find her voice and to go to therapy.
Yeah,
some of the things that had happened in her life was a result of her self-image due to the abuse that happened in her childhood.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It was rough for her. And back in the early 70s, you just didn't have a lot of support when it came to that kind of stuff. You didn't have counselors at school to kind of help you and to kind of coax you into therapy that you might need and stuff like that. I think nowadays they're very much more aware.
They know what to look for a little bit more.
And then, like I said, she talks about when she got the acting job for Gidget. And then she talks about The Flying Nun. I thought those were very interesting. She talks about some other movies and how she had to not only act the part, she had to become the character. Like, just lose herself in the character and just become this whole other person the whole time that they were filming. She also struggled with binge eating, and she talked about how her doctor, I'm pretty sure her doctor, put her on these diet pills. And we're talking the diet pills from the 70s and early 80s.
Those are some kick-ass diet pills. They'll make your whole soul vibrate.
Right, exactly. So she would talk about how she would binge eat all weekend and then take diet pills all week so that she could not gain weight and just be exhausted from being so overly stimulated from taking all of these diet pills. I mean, this girl, oh my gosh, she did not have an easy life. She talks a lot about her relationship with Burt Reynolds after she did the Bandit movies. It was just really interesting. I mean, I don't get into the gossip magazines, but I can definitely read an autobiography about a celebrity that I like, for sure. It's different than a gossip magazine because it's like them talking to you about their life. It's like having a conversation. Do you feel that way?
Oh, yeah.
When you're reading an autobiography, it's like they're talking directly to you.
If it's written well, that's how it's supposed to be.
And I love autobiographies. I really do. I love it.
I love it. I really do.
I do. I really, really do. And yeah.
Go all the way up to the present?
I don't think it goes all the way up to the present. She doesn't talk about Steel Magnolias. I was kind of hoping she would talk about Steel Magnolias because I love that movie. But that's okay. I still really enjoyed it. She does the audio. Sally Field does the audio herself. So it is actually like having a conversation
with
her even more. And it was awesome. It was wonderful. I really liked it. There are some cringeworthy parts, though. Mm. I mean, definitely trigger warnings. I could tell you some of the stories.
No, don't tell me.
But one thing, ruin it for people who want to read it. Yeah. Not that, you know, you should be looking forward to reading those parts, but yeah.
But some people might, because it might have happened to them and they need that.
Right. Uh-huh. Exactly. And
does she talk about that famous Oscar speech where she did the, you like me, you really like me?
Did she really?
She did. That's what she said. Yeah. She was bawling.
Maybe she does in the book, and that's where I remember it from, you know?
Yeah.
Unconsciously, this is where I got it from. It was awesome. I would recommend it. And that again is Sally Field in Pieces.
Awesome.
She told this story on herself that I heard somewhere in some interview. I don't know if it's the most recent thing she did, but she made that movie 80 for Brady with Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, Rita Moreno, and her.
Uh-huh.
It's a stupid movie, but it's delightful for the four of them. I mean, it came out better than a year ago, I think.
Oh, but yeah, I haven't seen much.
It's just about these four old ladies who are Tom Brady fans, and so they set out to go to the Super Bowl and watch him.
Oh.
And she was by far the youngest of the four, because like Vonnie said, she's in her 70s. Fonda and Tomlin are in their 80s, and Rita Moreno's in her 90s.
Wow.
They did some interview show together, the group of them, and Sally Field said the proudest thing, because there's a point in the movie where they have to kind of do this. They try to pass themselves off to get into the Super Bowl as members of like some cheer and dance company that's going in there. And so they're like dancing and trying to say, yeah, we're part of this company. You know? And Sally Field was like, I was so proud of myself because I kept up with Rita Moreno and I could dance with Rita Moreno. And Rita Moreno is 90 something. And she goes, I dumbed it down for her.
Oh, that's good. All right. Out of the celebrity genre into the, where are we going?
Wacky world of Pat.
I have a book to talk about that is called Sleeping Beauties. And it is by a father and son duo, Owen and Stephen King. I have not read anything, any of Owen King's books. I've read some of Joe Hill, Stephen King's other son, but the whole family writes. You got to give them that. This was an interesting book. It's not the kind of page turner that you might expect from Stephen King, but it's definitely got, there are some moments in it that are suspenseful. But it's a big, thick doorstop of a book. It's 700 pages, maybe. But the premise of the book is that suddenly women all over the world start falling asleep. They fall asleep, and as soon as they fall asleep, their body exudes these little white tendrils of almost a fabric-like stuff, and it weaves a cocoon around them. And so they go into these cocoons and they don't wake up. And if someone tries to wake them up, if someone tears the cocoon open, they come out of it snarling teeth and claws, vicious, violent, and kill or attempt to kill whoever it is that ripped open the cocoon.
So like me this week, I was going to say, if somebody tries to wake me up, I kind of behave that way.
Yeah. That
snarling, vicious beast. You before coffee. Exactly.
So you have women, they call this disease the Aurora disease because of Sleeping Beauty, which was Princess Aurora. So the Aurora disease is rapidly putting women around the world to sleep. Some women are fighting, and the women who are trying to fight back from it, they're taking every drug they can get their hands on. There's like women who work in the police departments are raiding the evidence locker and just like, give me the coke, give me the meth, give me whatever it is, keep me awake. It's not unusual for Stephen King's books to have a lot of characters. This one has a lot, a whole lot of characters. There are a lot of people to keep track of in these books, but two of the major ones are a couple. She is the sheriff of the small town of Dueling, which is somewhere in the Appalachians. It's been a week or two since I finished it, and now I'm going, was it Tennessee? Was it Kentucky? It was somewhere in that region. So Lila, the wife, is the sheriff of this small town. Her husband is the medical director at one of the few local, not exactly industries, but local employers, which is a women's prison. He is a medical doctor. I think psychiatrists are medical doctors, but his specialty is not physical medicine. It's mental medicine. And so they are taking a couple of different approaches. Lila's trying to stay awake and trying to keep the town kind of together as people are dropping off to sleep. And weird shit, being a King family book, weird shit happens, like obnoxious high school boys who find like a homeless woman who has cocooned up, and they find her little encampment out in the woods where she's been sleeping, and she's in a cocoon, and they go, huh, wonder what would happen if you set fire to the cocoon.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. At just asshole type behavior. Some people are taking their women folk who have become cocooned and hiding them away to protect them from that sort of thing. In the prison, they kind of open the doors so the prisoners can circulate around within the prison. And they make this, they call it super coffee, that's got every kind of possible stay awake agent in it. And they're passing it out to the women. But someone is being held in this prison early on. It's a woman named, she goes by the name Evie Black. You never know quite what her real name is. She's an almost mystical figure who comes walking out of the woods in the beginning of this book, having found the local meth dealer's trailer and just gone berserk on them. She kills these couple of guys who are out there cooking meth. I mean, grabs one and slams his head through the wall of the trailer so it emerges outside, actually breaks a hole right through the metal siding. And she is the only woman who is able to fall asleep and wake up again. She is not subject to this disease. She also has some psychic powers. She knows things that are happening in other places that she clearly can't know about except by psychic means. Occasionally, when she falls asleep, she floats a few inches above the bed that they've given her in the prison. And the town has gotten wind of the fact that this Evie woman exists. Lila took her to the prison for safekeeping. And people in the town think that she must hold the secret to all of this. And so they are talking about breaking in to the prison and getting her, whether they want to lynch her, whether they want to force her to tell them something because they think she knows something, but they want this woman handed over to them because they think she holds the key to bringing the Aurora infection to an end. The other side of this story that you get, and you don't get it until you're substantially into the book, it's a couple hundred pages of getting all of this, what's happening in the real world laid out. And then you go into the other side, which is what happens to the women when they go into their cocoons. They wake up in a world without men. They wake up in sort of a future world where they have to rebuild and make their own society and decide how do they want this society to run. There's the potential for men because some of the women are pregnant when they fall asleep and they wake up and time moves at a different pace. So when 5 days have passed in the regular world, months and months have gone by inside this other time zone, other place inhabited by the women. And some of them have had male children. So there will be men again in that world. If the women choose not to wake up, there will eventually be no women and the society will die out in the original world. And so there's a conflict as to which way it's going to go and whether they're going to choose to stay in this new world that they've created or come back to the original one. I can't say too much more plot-wise without giving away too many spoilers, that I found the most interesting thing about this book was to compare it to a book that we have talked about frequently in this podcast, which is The Power, because they both look at what would happen in a world where women have power, where women are not afraid of men. And interestingly, I found it really interesting that The Power, which was written by a woman, kind of took that attitude of, you know, if you gave women power, they'd be just as big assholes as men are with power. The Stephen King book, written by two men, suggests that maybe the women would not be as big of assholes as men are, and that maybe they would actually create a society that was fundamentally different from the one we live in. So I can't, like I said, say too much more without giving away important things and taking away the fun from reading it. It is a long read. It's not, like I said, a super page turner, except for there's a pretty good suspenseful scene, long scene toward the end where the town is attacking the prison and trying to get Evie to get the prison to hand her over to them. And that's got a pretty good element of suspense. But otherwise, it's a lot of character work. It's a lot of setting the scene for things and creating people who bring very different baggage to this situation and who take very different things away from it. But I found it a pretty interesting read. And really, especially in light of if you've read The Power, I would really recommend that you read Sleeping Beauties by Stephen and Owen King.
Awesome. Very, very good characterization of that book.
Did you read it?
I did.
I think I would like that world better than The Power.
Yeah.
Bonnie hated The Power. Oh. But you know what? I think I read Sleeping Beauties before I read The Power.
Did you?
I don't remember. I'll have to look.
I guess it came out a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found it a little long. But, you know.
Yeah.
That's the short attention span theater talking here.
Well, this is, you know, there are some books where, I mean, I love Stephen King, but sometimes I do swear that he gets paid by the word.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, well, I don't mind him getting paid by the word. I didn't like, I think it might have been the Owen contribution for me that.
Cause there's I've read a lot of things online and some people say they can tell who wrote which, but they have never said who wrote which part.
Yeah, I can't necessarily tell.
And other people say, no, I can't tell who wrote which parts.
I can't necessarily tell, but I can definitely tell where it's dragging.
Yeah.
So there were some spots in there that I'm like, oh, but I love the scene you're talking about in the prison or in the jail. That was a good scene. There were a lot of good things about the book too. So,
and some really, I thought some very sensitive stuff about women prisoners, about how they got there and how most of them got there because
of men.
Because some man did them wrong at some point.
Yep.
And yeah. I mean, there are a few in there who are just cold-blooded killers, but there's a lot. It seemed to me to be trying to be sensitive about the backstories of these characters and saying, yeah, just because someone's in prison, sometimes it's well-deserved, sometimes it's not.
Yeah. And that goes for all prisoners as well. So.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think I'm going to go. I was going to do my political book, but I think I'll save that one for another day. I just get too mad when I talk about political books. And then it just kind of ruins the whole. It's like your uncle, you know, at Thanksgiving dinner who starts a conversation. It's like he's just mad and then everybody's mad. Not that you guys would get mad because you'd probably agree with me. This is a book I read quite some time ago. My main thing is for the last probably week and a half, maybe everything I've read has just fallen flat. I was on hold for a bunch of mystery novels and everything just felt so cliched to me that I couldn't settle on a single thing. Six books and none of them made the grade. So I had to go back down the line to see if I could find something that I really felt good about. And this book, the reason I didn't review it the first time around is that it was just too hard to explain. But it's called You Only Call When You're in Trouble by Stephen McCauley. It's about a family, three members of a family. The brother and sister, Tom and Dorothy, are very, very close. Dorothy is a mess. She's one of those sisters that is just all over the place. She gets pregnant early on, won't say who the father is or says she doesn't know. Tom, he's gay. He kind of dives in and becomes the father figure for the baby. And they work together and she keeps being the flake that she is and Tom is the rock. So that's kind of what their relationship is like. And then Cecily, the child, becomes very attached to Tom because he's much more solid and steady than her mother is. So Cecily she spends way too much time leaning on Tom for things. She becomes a successful, I think she's a professor of, I want to say English, but I could be wrong. And while she's teaching, there's this student, it's a female student, who becomes very interested in everything that she's doing, you know, and she just becomes the teacher feels like she's really helping the student. And that's where her perspective is, right? Well, it turns out that the student is in love with her and comes on to her and she's like, whoa. So the student then goes to and tells everybody about it. So then she's out. You know, she's in trouble. She has to go sit it out while they talk about whether she gets to keep her job. So first thing she does is call Tom. Well, she lives with her boyfriend, but she just can't handle it. She just leaves and goes to stay with Tom for a while. Well, Tom is just going through a breakup. his live-in boyfriend has moved out and he hasn't told anybody yet. So he's all freaked out because he's going to have to tell Cecily about it. In the meantime, Dorothy, the sister, has got all kinds of projects, and she's working on some retreat that she wants to turn this old mansion into. And so she's working with people. She's going to do this big party, and she's invited everybody to the party, and she's making a huge deal out of everything. Of course, trying to make money at the same time. Well, everything comes to a head when she decides at this party to reveal some very touchy information, and it basically blows everything to bits. And the thing I liked about the book the most was, I think pretty much anything I like has that sense of snark and silliness to it, but at the same time, it's serious. And I think that's what kept me going through the book, is that I really liked the characters, even though they were just amazingly flawed. They were just really interesting to read about. And I had a good time reading about them, even though the subject matter was not necessarily always great. So if you're looking for a family drama with a little bit of, I don't know, a twist of something...
A twist of drama?
It's drama, but it's the kind of drama that's so over the top that you have to laugh. And I guess that's one of the reasons I liked it. But I gave it 4 stars. I probably would have gone higher. But it's just one of those books that's so hard to explain why you liked it. And the answer is, read it and then you can decide why you liked it. And that was called You Only Call When You're in Trouble by Stephen McCauley. I was like, I don't remember these people's names. I don't remember any of that.
I never remember people's names.
I have a hard time remembering character names.
Yeah.
Whew. It's like, what, you know, if I've read a book more than a week or two ago, it's like, well, I remember what he did and what he did. What was his name? I don't know, Fred, Joe, Bob.
With us, I mean, as soon as you finish a book, you pick up another one.
Well, uh-huh. I try not to do that because then I have a hard time getting into the book.
Oh,
like the
do
book
you?
I'm reading this week, I picked it up right after I got done with In Pieces. And I'm going to have to read it again because there's good parts to it, but I've missed so much of it,
you know,
that it doesn't.
Maybe I had a hangover from that political book. I think I'm
maybe.
Blaming the whole thing on that.
Yeah.
Because all week long, all I could do was go, this is just so cliche bullshit. I don't like it.
Sometimes it's hard when you read a book and you have such a book hangover that nothing can get you out of it. You need, it's like you don't need a palate cleanser. You need a palate enema.
3, 4. I've got 5 books in my inbox right now, and not a single one of them is doing it for me. And this is after the 6 I've already gone through. Why is that?
My mind's eye is busy creating horrible images suggested by Vonnie's phrase, a palate enema. And just how powerful that gush of water would have to be to get to your palate.
From your asshole to the back of your throat would have to be pretty goddamn good.
That would
maybe
be, what
a
do they call those?
Washer?
What they...
A power washer would be great, yes.
It'd be like, what do they call those toilets that have the water that comes in gentle? It would be a bidet power washer. You would just straddle that bad boy, turn it on, and go
stick
to the
ceiling.
Stick
it up your ass and come right out your mouth in a fountain.
Somewhere there's a fountain that needs to be made with that kind of
That's
thing.
That's actually kind of a good idea. I know a couple of figures that would make great
You'd have
fountains
to strap
like
in,
that.
Strap in for it. Have a seatbelt for your
every
bidet.
Every time the water come up, the hair piece would flop aside. Except for we'd have to look at them naked. Blah! Sorry, I grossed my own self out. Well, maybe this week will be better. Pat's had a really rough week.
If you had a really bad day. I might have been able to top it.
So. Yes, Pat had a really, really bad day.
You can listen to my bad day and feel better about yours.
Hey.
Or if you can beat it, then you can send us a message and say, here's a really bad day.
If your day is worse than that, I definitely feel for you. And I want to hear the story because you make me feel better about being me. I mean, totally empathetic with you. So, you know, I was sitting here thinking because, I mean, I was totally listening to the book reviews, but I was thinking.
She wasn't listening.
If I was Mrs. Puff.
Oh, my God. Here she goes.
In SpongeBob, I would be dating Mr. Krabs. So he'd be a penny pincher, but he'd always be hard.
But bump. I think that one fell kind of flat.
Oh, good. I saw the best bumper sticker. We parked at the hospital parking lot down in Denver, and there was a car two down from us that was covered with stickers, every square inch of that car except the windshield. And a lot of them, I'm guessing maybe the people had something to do with the music industry. There were lots of them that were band-oriented. Mm-hmm. And one of them was a great group. It was just the sticker said, the mother Folkers, F-O-L-K-E-R, the most carefully pronounced band in music.
I love the mother Folkers.
Well, you want to hear something funny? Speaking of bands, you know that there's, of course, you know, Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh, yeah.
And there was one time, I don't even know, I was talking to somebody at work, and it was one of those times when my voice was too high, unexpectedly. And I said, oh, my God, I love Bare Naked Ladies. And I said it loud, and everybody at the office kind of turned around and looked. And I was like, the band. I'm talking about the band.
They're like, oh, we didn't know you were gay.
But they did think I was gay. That was the problem.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. There is not.
There's not. And I actually didn't even correct them.
Sure. She's just looking for the right woman.
I am.
She needs somebody who's a good cook and a dog lover.
Good cook and a dog lover. Beard optional. Yep.
Beard optional. Just let yours grow out.
Well, we don't
catch it in the zipper.
Ooh, no. That would be bad.
And that's going to do it for Three Book Girls.
If you made it this far, you are truly bookish. So go to Facebook and join your fellow book lovers on the Three Book Girls squad. Follow Three Book Girls on socials and be on the lookout for their next live event. Proud of their lack of shelf control, Three Book Girls is a Steel Trap production.